something. To show mercy like that. He was clearly impressed. Some of the others were frowning, but Pox saw many of the older veterans relax, as if they had feared worse. Baranyi's voice broke a brief silence. But why? After all he'd done, I'd think the Duke would do something. It's not right that he should die so easy. Pox felt almost sick at the venom in Bara's voice. Before she could gather her words, Vasek interrupted Bara. No! That's what makes us different. Such leaders as that you can trust to do the right thing even under pressure, by— He paused and looked at Stammel. By Gerd and Falk and the High Lord himself, I'm proud we've got such men to lead our companies. Vasek turned to Pox, grinning. I dare say you weren't eager for torture, were you now? Pox felt herself blushing. No, she muttered. She hoped no one would ask what the Duke had actually said. I thought not. Vasek sounded relaxed and happy. This is an honorable company, and always has been and always will be. Remember that, Bara. She made no answer. Stammel was smiling, too. Well, now. Just let us get this citadel taken care of, and we'll be back to normal, and a lot richer, I don't doubt. You too, Pox. You'll have a bonus for this night's work. He stretched. Now I can sleep. I'd been so worried he'd have some magic and escape again. He stood, reaching a hand to Pox. Come on, warrior. Even you need sleep before the assault. Pox clambered up, meeting the admiring glances of her friends as she moved away. What she had left unsaid cluttered her throat. No one woke her in the morning. The sun was high when she finally opened her eyes. The tent was almost empty. Two others slept at the far end. Pox stretched and yawned. She didn't want to move. She heard voices outside and got up reluctantly. Outside, the day was fair and warm. It would be hot by noon. She headed for the cook's tent. There you are. Stammel came up behind her. You'll be glad to know that the troops in the citadel want to surrender. Pox pulled her mind back to the present. Oh, good. They're afraid to open the gates, they say. I don't blame them. They would expect the worst from us. He waited to say more, until no one was near. Pox. The others are back now. I spoke to Arnie and Vic. There's a lot you didn't say last night. Pox blushed. She was afraid of his next question. Instead of asking, he went on. I'm glad you didn't. The Duke's a good man, you know that. I've known him a long time. I know why he might lose his temper. But you were right, Pox. However angry he was, or maybe still, he's not the kind to torture. Only he wasn't himself for a bit. He went on more briskly. I don't think the others will talk about it. I had to pull the truth out of Vic with a rope, nearly. He feared I'd be angry with you. Pox found herself grinning at Stammel's tone. When she looked up, his brown eyes were twinkling. You'd best watch yourself, though, he said. If things keep happening around you, and you keep siding with paladins, it'll rub off, and we'll only see you from far away as you ride past on your fancy charger. His tone was only half-joking. For an instant, the thought made Pox's heart leap, but she forced the image away. No, she said firmly. I'm staying here, in the company, with my friends, if the Duke isn't too angry, for she remembered the icy glare he'd given her. He's fair. He won't hold it against you. But Pox, it's not that bad an idea, said Stammel more earnestly. If you have the chance, I'd say take it. You've got the fighting skills, and you care about the right and wrong of things. You'd make friends elsewhere. Pox shook her head. Stammel sighed. Have you thought, he asked, that your 2 years is up these many months? You're due a leave. You could go north and see your family, look around. Pox was startled. She had forgotten all about the 2 years beyond training in her first contract. I hadn't thought, she said. As she mused on it, the sights and smells of Three Firs came back to her. The baker's shop, the well, the striped awnings that hung out on market day, and beyond the town the great rolling lift of the moors, and the first sight of the dark slate roof of her father's house. Tears stung her eyes. I could take my dowry back, she said. So you could. Your share of this campaign should do it. Think about it. The Duke will be granting us all leave unless he takes us back north.
And I wouldn't be leaving the company.
No, not unless you wanted to.
I'll think about it, she said,
and Stammel nodded and left her. Siniava's troops surrendered that day, but not to the Duke, to the combined city militia. Pox did not even see the prisoners. She heard that they'd been taken away toward Vanja. The Duke's company entered the citadel only for plunder. They found the only treasure at the inside opening of the secret passage. Several chests of gold, Stammel said, would pay for the entire campaign, leaving aside their share of Cha and Sibili. Pox heard from Arnyi that Siniava's bodyguards had all been carrying jewels and gold.
That's what slowed them down in the fight, she joked.
Did you find out who the others were?
Yes. The man's some high rank in the Moneylenders Guild. He's got a bad wound. He may not live. The woman's his sister or niece or something.
Arnyi stopped and looked at Pox.
Do you know what happened with Kana's medallion? Was it really St. Gerd who woke you?
I don't know. I don't understand. Pox could hardly convey her confusion. Something happened, I know that, but I keep wondering and wondering about it, and nothing comes clear. 3 days later, as she watched the city militias march north from the bridge, she was still wondering. The High Marshal had talked to her again, and the Paladin. The Duke had apparently talked to both of them. Doran had told of the incident in Rotengra, and Pox finally admitted that she'd tried to use the medallion to heal Kana. She could have had, if she'd wanted it, hours of instruction about Gerd. She didn't want it. I want to stay with you, she'd told the Duke, while the High Marshal listened. I joined your company, I gave you my oath, and my friends are here. The Duke nodded.
You may stay, Poxenarian, as long as you're willing, but I must agree with the High Marshal in this. Some force, we need not agree on what, is moving you as well. The time may come when you should leave. I will not hold you to your oath then.
My lord, the Paladin had begun, but the Duke interrupted. Don't bully her. If she's to leave, she'll leave in her own time. You've seen she's no fool.
That's not what I meant, my lord.
No, I'm sorry. The Duke had sighed, looking tired.
Pox, think about it. I know it's not easy, but think. Talk to Arkelin or Doran, if you'd like. Talk to Stammel. This company is not the only place you can be a fighter.
But she had been determined. From a sheep farmer's daughter in Three Furs to a respected veteran in the Duke's company with friends who would die for her, or she for them. That was enough. Those childhood dreams were only dreams. This place, these friends, were real. It was all she wanted, and all she ever would.
She waved, nonetheless, to Sir Fenneth, the Paladin, as he rode out. Kana's medallion was safe in her belt pouch now. She would let it stay there. No more of those strange warnings to deal with. No more mysteries. And if she died, for lack of its warning, she grinned, not worried. Sabin's red horse would bear her to the afterfields.